Recording is on.
The other thing that we're going to need today is a scribe. This is probably going to be a pretty fast and furious discussion. Do we have any volunteers for scribe? And just as a reminder, we can't start the meeting before we have a volunteer for scribe. If you've never scribed before, but your typing skills are pretty good, the only thing you need to do is type the name of the person that's talking, colon, and then what they said.
Manu, it's Heather. I'll go ahead and scribe if no one's volunteered yet.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Heather. Really appreciate that. All right, let's go ahead and get started. We have the usual suspects here, as well as I'm guessing a number of people from IIW. For those of you that are joining from IIW, welcome. This is one of the kind of special topic calls that the W3C Credentials Community Group runs. Heather here, who just volunteered to scribe, is one of the CCG chairs. I don't know if we've got any other chairs here. Heather, sorry to put you on the spot. I can scribe for you. Would you like to give just a really quick introduction to the Credentials Community Group for those of the folks that are joining from IIW?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So I'm Heather Vessens, and I'm one of the co-chairs of the Credentials Community Group, as Manu said. We normally meet at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon on Tuesday mornings, and we have a tendency to discuss topics associated, free standards and technology topics associated with verifiable credentials, decentralized identifiers, privacy, and all kinds of different things. The special call that we have today, which Manu is going to be leading and going over, is regarding a specific work item. The CCG exists to have community driven work items, and these are work items that basically multiple companies and multiple people within the community work together, and then they put this code or repositories or vocabularies or reports or use cases out there for the broader community to use. Anyone can be a member of the community's credential group. You don't have to be a paying member of the CCG to do so. Maybe I will go find what that link is if you want, if I have a break in the scribing. And I don't know, any other questions or anything else I should cover, Manu? Or if you have questions, nope. You can...
That was great. That was great. Thank you, Heather. If anyone has any questions, we can take them at the end, or you can type them into the channel and someone might get around to answering you. Heather, if we could get a link to the CCG, or someone other than Heather who's scribing can get a link to the CCG and how to join, put it in the chat channel. That'd be great. Okay. Let's go ahead and get started. For those of you that are just joining, unfortunately you're going to be hit with a fire hose of information. This is a continuation from a call that we had, this week on Tuesday, where we introduced the topic of the verifiable credentials, HTTP, API. So without getting, too much into it, I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. Can folks see this? Should say VC, a verifiable credential. Okay.
Yes, we can see your screen.
Just real quick, as just a brief introduction, the verifiable credentials HTTP API gives people, gives systems the ability to issue and verify data that's used in the verifiable credentials ecosystem. So it can be used to issue verifiable credentials, verifiable presentations, verify those, derive credentials, things of that nature. From an architectural perspective, We are talking about if this was like an ecosystem where you've got digital wallets and websites and application backends, the VC HTTP API, one of the places that it can be used is kind of in the back office systems, again, to issue and verify APIs. We are assuming that the people that are going to be participating today have a fairly good understanding of this API. We're here to address a number of the challenges with the verifiable credential HTTP API. So those challenges include that currently we only have an open API specification as a YAML file. There's no use cases document, no specification document, no documented data flows, no agreement on document structure, and no lead editor. We are here to try and address those issues by discussing the problems and specifically putting forward concrete proposals that the community can provide feedback on. So again, for those of you that are new here, we use a queue to queue speakers. So if you want to say something, type Q, the letter Q and plus, and then we can acknowledge you and you'll have time to talk. When it comes to these proposals, ideally the people involved in this stuff are going to do plus one if they agree with it, minus one if they don't. And there's all kinds of other ranges of, responses, plus 0.5 if you're like okay with it, but not thrilled. So we'll put forward proposals and vote on them throughout the call. Let me stop there to see if people have any questions about what we're talking about today. Or how we go about, making some preliminary decisions. Okay. I'm assuming silence is people more or less understand. I'll repeat some of these things as we go through. Some of you have modified the slide deck since we last spoke. I'm going to put a series of proposals that we're going to talk about today, so no one's surprised by the proposals. There are how many of these? 6, 7, 8 proposals. So I'm going to just put them in just for reading. Don't vote on them yet. And so let me kind of move that into the chat channel here. Okay. So these are the proposals that we've been able to kind of gather, since the call on Tuesday. Anyone here can make a new proposal if they feel it's more likely to gain consensus. We're going to start easy and get to the more difficult proposals. We may not get through all these proposals today. If we don't, we'll just hold another meeting to get through them. Okay. So, let's go ahead and get started. One of the first items that we had discussed was that there was no use case document. And I see that Juan is having connection issues. Unfortunately, this is one of the things we wanted to chat with him about. So there's no use cases document. There have been proposals that we should create a use cases document, a use cases and requirements document. Juan has put one of those things together. So let's go ahead and just have the first conversation, which is, do we want a use cases and requirements document? Put yourself on the queue if you want to argue for or against. Thank you, Mahmoud. Mahmoud just put the use cases document that Juan proposed as a starting point into the chat channel. Go ahead, Michael.
I think there has to be some sort of scoping done, and I don't know. I'm assuming that use cases in a requirements document would be the best way for scoping. Like, just as an example, not to be discussed, but would this HTTP protocol, for example, be like ZCAP capability authorization enabled? just in this example. So I think we need use cases and requirements document from a scoping perspective.
Yes. So absolutely, Michael, I think that is the goal there, is to help the use cases kind of drive the scope. I believe they'll be a little intertwined, but you know, it'll talking about concrete use cases people have will help us get to a more narrow scope. Daniel, you're up next.
I just wanted to ask. I've read the document very quickly based on Mahmoud's link. Thank you for that. It looks to me like it mixes two concerns. One is back end behavior, the green lines that you showed on your diagram, Manu, and the other is interactions that are at the front end, where you're actually interacting, for example, with holders who want to, you know, prove something. And I'm wondering if that's the intention. Is it to broaden the scope from the way that it was originally conceived of?
So that is the current challenge we're having, Daniel, is yes, there's a group of people that want to broaden scope, and there may be others that don't want to, but in order for us to have that conversation, we've got to have a document to have that conversation around. And so the suggestion is it is the use cases and requirements document. Let's at least agree to that so that we can then put things in there that will more accurately reflect the scope of things people want to work on. Did that help, Daniel?
Well, sort of. So when on proposal two, is the intent then to say, let's take Juan's document and assume that approximately it has the right content in it and we just, you know, tweak it? Or is it that everything is up for debate in Juan's document? We're just using it as the initial fodder.
It's the second thing. So the, you know, the suggestion is everything's up for debate. We just need to start somewhere and someone in the community has put something forward, right? So that doesn't mean everything stays. It doesn't mean we've already agreed to anything in the document. In fact, I have barely read that document, right? But it's just a suggested starting point.
Okay.
Go ahead, Heather. I'll scribe for you.
Yeah, thanks. I think I just want to state that I think use cases documents is great. I haven't really had a chance to look at Juan's document, so I'm not sure how it fits with everything, but I'm sure it's got some good stuff that we'll want to use or iterate on. But like Daniel's concern and what you said, I think if we start from that document, we can't assume agreement of anything in it. It's like, you know, we should have like an official, we could have like an official use cases project kickoff, and that could be one. And then other of us could think about what use cases could be from there. So Juan, yeah, and please Juan, do not feel like you are under the gun, because I feel like you went above and beyond and being proactive and trying to help the community with documentation that we didn't have. And, you know, I know your heart's in the right place and you're trying to help us all move forward. So don't take these comments as personal criticisms.
All right. Queue's empty. So I'm not hearing people fighting we should have a use cases and requirements document that much. I'm going to put that proposal in. This hopefully will be easy. The proposal is to create a use cases and requirements document. There will be a separate decision on whether or not we use Juan's use cases and requirements document as a starting point. So the way this goes is I put the proposal in, and then if you like it, you do plus one. And if you don't like it, you do like you disagree, like you do not want the proposal to pass, you do minus one. And then, you know, you can have, it's a floating point number. You can have any amount of opinion in between those two extremes. So here's the proposal, plus one, if you like it, minus one, if you disagree. You're seeing a lot of support. I'm going to hold for a couple more seconds for any minus ones. Going once, going twice. Resolved. Hooray. Okay, great. So we've just decided that we're going to have a use cases and requirements document. We can have a discussion around those. The second proposal that's up is to use WAN's use cases and requirements document as a starting point. One of the things that we could choose to do here is give it about two, like, well, we could keep it as a Google Doc. So WAN's use cases document is a Google Doc right now, and we could give the community a couple of weeks to just hammer on that thing, and hopefully WAN would be able to, you know, edit comments and integrate things. And then we could make the decision to use that use cases and requirements document as a starting point, or we can make the decision today. I see that it was on the queue. Joe's on the queue. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I think it would benefit us if we identify who's going to be the editor or editors of the use case document, have them propose a starting point.
Okay. Who would like to be editors on the use cases document?
Wait a second. Sorry, Manu, I'm busting in because I put myself CQ. My concern with deciding who are the owners of use case documents, I would like to see a broad, diverse ownership of this type of document, and I think I would like to let the – I would like to express this opportunity to the broader community if possible. I don't want to slow it down, but I've not been happy with the way use cases have been developed in this community in the past, and so I'm just bristling against potentially something like that happening in this space.
Dimitri, you're up.
Also, there's someone who's not muted that has, like, some noise in the back. I don't know if you can mute yourself.
Yeah, thanks to whoever for muting. I had a thing to say, except Ori saying minus one to join ownership. Ori, are you proposing one editor?
Go ahead, Ori.
Yeah, I'm proposing that there's a thing that happens where we assign five code owners to a work item and then none of them do any work. And so I don't want to see that continue to happen, but I totally agree with Heather that picking owners from the people who showed up to this call for the use cases document might not be a great solution either. So it feels like the thing that we need is to make sure that there's a directly responsible individual who's really committed to and taking ownership and responsibility for synthesizing community consensus, right? And doing the work to make sure that consensus is reflected and updated regularly. That's an editor's job. They're not there to like make it their way. They're there to describe what the community wants to do. And they're there to do work. And I don't know if those people are on this call. So I agree with Heather that it could be dangerous to pick them from this call. But at the same time, I'm super strongly against saying, well, these five people are going to figure it out together, because that's probably not going to work.
Okay, so how about this? Let's not pick the person, but maybe we can decide on a strategy, as in there will be one strong lead for the document, someone that is ultimately responsible for moving things forward so there's no confusion on whether or not the person's moving it forward or not. But we really, one, we can't pick that person today. Because you can't, you know, there's not enough of a diverse group, with us today. So let me see if that resonates with the group. Like, do we, for all of the documents we're going to talk about today, there really needs to be one lead editor whose job it is to move consensus quickly, you know, forward quickly. And if they're not doing that, somebody else needs to step in and do that. So let me stop and wait for reactions. Ted, you're up.
As soon as I can find my mute. And the only reason that I put myself on the queue is because I have to speak the words and I can't type them in. One editor is often too few. Five is certainly too many. Two is common and usually good. Because as committed as anybody is, sometimes it takes longer than somebody in the audience wants it to take for something to happen. And I'm bristling right now at the suggestion that because something took a little longer than somebody wanted, the people who were in the position to do the job weren't there to do the work. I recognize that everybody on this call is overloaded because we are. And this also is a volunteer position. I'm not compensated for it yet. Well, I'm paid by my boss, but you know, this is not the biggest part of my job. This is not a commercial revenue producing endeavor. And we've got to watch how people are treated in that context. And I'll shut up now and take my bristling elsewhere.
I'm trying to synthesize a proposal. So the proposal sounds something like we will strive to assign at least two editors to each document associated with the VC HTTP API with well-defined responsibilities associated with the position. I know that's a bit vague sounding. So hopefully this is going to address, you know, the concern that there are going to be too many people, assigned. Let's see, at least two is problematic. Go ahead, Heather.
Yeah, I just want to make a note here, because I think this can also be an opportunity for growing leadership in the CCG. This is the way I've been trying to use the CCG 101. And if we can have, like, say, one strong lead and one kind of, I don't want to say weak lead, but like one upcoming lead, and that lead can be like someone who's newer to the community. That doesn't necessarily mean they're like new in their career or new in like whatever. It could just be new to like the way we do the work here. The lead could like already knows how things work and stuff and could kind of like mentor and co-lead with the other one, kind of like pair programming. So, this could be an opportunity where instead of us having to find like two like heavy lifting leads, we find one heavy lifting lead and one person who wants to come in and like learn how CCG stuff works and stuff and be mentored. And that can also provide succession planning and leadership growth in the community.
Plus one to that. I'm trying to move that into the proposal. So we will strive to assign one, Heather, I'm struggling with the wording, but we will strive to assign one primary lead and one secondary, lead.
Maybe we could, if we can really like take the, I don't know how pair programmers are referred to each other, but I really do see it as peers with one who's like kind of like the strong driver and one who's kind of like the learning driver. And it's not going to be like 100% on both sides. So anyway, I just say like pairs with one strong, maybe standards or W3C or editorial experience and one that may not necessarily have strong, W3C, like process experience. Oh yeah, navigator driver. I don't know.
Okay. So let's see. I said one primary editor and one secondary editor. I know that doesn't capture everything, but given that we're taking minutes and given that, you know, the decision's happening in a context, I think we could probably look back at the discussion and understand what we were going for. Heather, would you object to that language given that we've got some context around it?
No, I think we can just say it's kind of like in a peer programmer perspective, okay, where like one's a primary and one's a secondary, but they're working, okay, in peer or something like that.
Like peer programming. I'll put like peer programming into the proposal. Okay, so the proposal is we will strive to assign one primary editor and one secondary editor in parentheses like peer programming to each document associated with the VCHP API. With well-defined responsibilities associated with the position. Let me put that in, go ahead.
Hold on, Manu. We're talking about a use cases document. Now you're talking about every document in the API.
Yes.
So.
Do you want to just narrow this to the use cases document?
Absolutely. And I think we also need to be clear about what the responsibilities are for primary and secondary. So it's not enough to just say there's going to be two and one's going to be primary and one's going to be secondary. We have to also define what are the expectations for primary? What are the expectations for secondary? And that side of all of this in order for it to work.
Okay. All right. So let me modify the language. To say, to the VC. Okay. Oh, 1 second. So the modified proposal would be, we will strive to assign one primary editor and one secondary editor like peer programming to the VCHTTP API use cases document with well-defined responsibilities associated with the position. And we, well-defined responsibilities is TBD.
Sounds good.
All right. Let me put that in. Again, this is a plus one, minus one thing. There's the proposal. Plus one if you like it, minus one if you don't. Okay, I'm going to hold for a little bit longer. Longley, I think that's a good question. I'm afraid of derailing the conversation if we ask it. I think we can hand wave over it for now. That's my suggestion anyway.
Yeah, I think the context is clear enough. Mm-hmm.
Okay, going once, going twice. That is resolved. Okay, so we're gonna strive to do that. We can't pick the people today. We'll do it later. Ori, I'm a bit I want us to get to some of the meatier things. Are you okay with deferring the responsibilities at least for a little bit until we can understand kind of the structure of these documents? Or he's saying yes. Any objections by anyone to deferring the responsibilities discussion for a bit? Okay. Let's take, I'm going to jump around a bit. I'm trying to delay until Juan can get a stable connection. So, there's another.
Sorry, I'm back.
Hey, Juan, great. Juan, do you want to speak to your use cases and requirements document a bit, to get people to kind of understand what we're talking about or, you know, screen share it, or I can screen share it.
That'd be great. Thanks. I'm on a phone and, Jitsi. Anyways, the use cases document were, So the conversation was about expanding the scope a little. I was trying to synthesize a couple different requests for holder-to-holder APIs that came out of brokerage use cases in DSVIP supply chain use cases, and conversations about, yeah, I guess brokerage is just the most general way of saying lots of many stakeholders, none of which are the subject of every credential necessarily. So it was like a way to get a little clarity and scope on what kind of VPs were appropriate to those use cases without just totally going into unspecified territory. And the documents, yeah, that document was just modeled on what I found in the architecture MD file, which was maybe, I just sort of modeled it on the descriptions of the verifier APIs. Sorry, the issuer. Actually, I can't even remember which one. But so yeah, I don't have very strong opinions. I'm just trying to get a starting point that is not opinionated or too, yeah, forceful in any direction.
Tori, you were on the queue. Did you want to still chat? Okay, no comment on use cases. I put myself on the queue to comment. Clearly, the use cases document is like missing a number of use cases that I'm sure other people in the community want to get in there. I think the suggestion here is to work from the document that Juan has. Juan, is your expectation here that other people in the community are going to come in and inject their own use cases into the document? Maybe in suggest mode, and then you will either pull it in or, you know, try and, you know, synthesize it into something. If you were picked as lead, there's no assumption here, but. Okay. And Juan is saying yes. Okay. So the question is everyone on the call, at least comfortable with working in this document? There is no lead yet. We have admitted that nothing in this document is sacred. We can, you know, tear things out, add things, remove things, argue everything. But just as a temporary rallying point, can we use this Google Doc to put our thoughts and feelings into it and use this as a starting point? So let me stop and pose that to the community. Adrian, I think you're on the queue.
Yeah, just a quick question. I think Michael tried to ask this. Are we assuming that there is a scope document before the use cases document, or that the scope document comes after the use cases document?
Great question. Heather, you're up next.
Thanks. Yeah, sorry, I was scribing. I think I really literally have looked 1 second at this document, but I think what might be helpful in us like working with this document is if maybe we have kind of structured template or something so that anyone who wants to add a use case can include like all the appropriate parts of the use case. And I know there's a lot of different processes and thoughts about what should be like the parts of a use case. And, you know, I know Kim and VCEDU has some stuff. We've done it in the CCG before. So I don't think we need to have a big discussion about this. I don't know. I don't want us to derail us to be like, what should be in the template of it? But I think maybe just some of those of us who are used to this in this community could just asynchronously throw down some template chunks and iterate from there.
Mike, you're up next.
Yeah, Mado, actually, if you go first, because I think you're commenting in response to Heather, and then I was going to touch on scope.
Yes. So plus one to what Heather just said, I think having a template at the top of the document would really help people contribute in a way that would help the editors then categorize and organize the document. You're up, Mike.
Cool. And I'll echo that for sure. I think that would be great. Main thing I wanted to comment on is that I would like to see the scope come after the use cases are defined, because I think part of the reason this has been a contentious item or we've been seeing difficulty with this is that a number of actual practical real world use cases for, you know, REST or HTTP interactions with JSON payloads, you know, involving verifiable credentials just weren't thought through at the time, right? And so now we've got some very clear actual real world use cases that we're dealing with that we would like to use VC, you know, some kind of standardized, you know, API, and documented API for, right? And so that's the area that I worry that if we try to scope it first, we will put ourselves right back where we started, where, things kind of grind to a halt and, you know, go down alternate paths.
Joe, you're up. You might be muted, Joe.
Yeah, thanks. We do have a partial scope. I mean, I think there's an interleaved thing here that we need to figure out, because I definitely don't want to propose a waterfall model where things have to go in a particular order, because that's not how these sort of collaborative consensus-based things work. But we do have a statement in the VC-HTTP API itself for what that API is for. And to me, that feels like a charter statement. Now, we're not chartering a working group right now, but that may be the right level of scoping that precedes this document. So it may need a sentence or two more, but I agree with, I forgot who just commented last, if that was Mike or, I apologize. But the scope's going to evolve as people say, hey, this use case is important to me. And we're going to have innovation on that throughout the lifetime of that document. That's all.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Daniel, you're up next.
To me, there is an aspect of the scope that is quite important, and it will color all of the use cases, which is whether or not the intention is.
Oh, I just lost audio from Daniel.
I did too.
And his connection just dropped. We'll come back to Daniel. All right.
To make the API Daniel, something that the outside world interacts with, or only the element of this.
Daniel, we lost your audio for a good like couple of minutes there. Could you start over, please?
Yes, I'll be happy to, but I'm not guaranteed that I'll be able to keep it. I thought I would be okay, but anyway, here's my attempt. I'm concerned that if we approach the use cases as let's think of everything that we can put in, that we will end up wasting a lot of cycles. I would like to see us agree on at least one critical scope question early, which is whether or not this is an API for external parties or an API for internal parties or both. I would prefer to see it be internal parties only, which I believe is in the spirit of the statement that was already in the document that Joe called a charter. And so if we want to contemplate expanding that, I think that needs to be debated very early as a specific question separate from all the use cases.
Okay, noted. How about this? I don't know where the community is on that question. Let's put the question out to the group to get some commentary in. And then given the time, I think we might want to move on to specification structure. That was one of the major things we wanted to get to. Understanding that clearly we're going to have to come back to the scoping question. I think it's on everyone's minds. We're going to have to talk about it. We are not going to get everything handled in this one call, so we'll have a next call. based on where this question, how the responses to this question go. Well, I mean, regardless, we're going to have a discussion around scoping, and, you know, some of the use cases, document, template stuff. So I'm going to phrase a question here, which is, Daniel, I think it's the question you asked. Is the VC HTTP API for external parties, internal parties, or both? And the definition of external party, I think, Daniel, this is, correct me if I'm wrong here. Internal parties are those parties basically within your infrastructure, behind the firewall, you know, inside your corporation, for example. External parties are those on the general internet, that may be hitting your website to do things. So external is external to your organization, external to your firewall. And then both is, you know, you want to provide services for both people inside your firewall and outside of your firewall. Let me stop and see if that question, the question is the VCHP API for external parties, internal parties, or both? And the responses would be what people want it to be, external, internal, or both. Heather, you're on the queue.
Yeah, don't hate me, but like, I feel like I barely have enough knowledge to be able to have an opinion of this. And part of that is because like, I think there's a little bit of chicken and egg here because like those of you guys in the SVIP have been working with this and have very clear thoughts about your opinions on it. But then those of us who haven't been involved, have no clue. And like, I've spent the last week barely trying to get up to speed on it. So, I mean, like, I really want to be able to tell you what I want, but I don't even know that I can. And even if I said something now, I don't know if that's going to reflect what I really want. So I feel like this is a chicken and egg, and this is not helpful to discussion, and I'm sorry.
Okay, before I go to the next person, Heather, would it be okay if we had a fourth option, which is I don't have enough information to provide feedback? So people could say, you haven't given us enough information on anything. How could we possibly answer this question? And that's just input we take back. And then next call, we come back and say, okay, you know, it was clear 30% of the people had no idea about what even the question was about. So clearly we need to do some, you know, legwork.
Yes, that would 100% be useful for me. And I think that we're in this really interesting place with this and the traceability call where we're actually, it's kind of like tech transfer, but it's, I don't know. It's not exactly. So yeah, I would be happy with that as a choice.
Okay. Thank you. Marcus, you're up next and then Anil and then Adrian. Go ahead, Marcus.
Another way of explaining what we meant originally by internal APIs was that in the beginning we said that this work item would not overlap or compete or conflict with things like OpenID Connect or DITCOM or CHAPI, right? So those are the things that we considered external, and this one is something that we considered internal to be completely orthogonal or you know, to complement the external ones. But that's just how we understood it originally. Nobody's saying, of course, that now we can't agree on a different scope.
Okay, great. Thanks, Marcus. Anil, I think you're next.
Thank you, Manu. First of all, plus one to what Heather's suggestion is, I think we need more information. I will, to that point, I'll provide at least a perspective from a, not a technology implementer, but a technology consumer and a customer for this type of technology, right? I think the internal, external framing that Daniel suggested, I think probably drove the original distinction in the framing, I think is at best incomplete, right? I think the intent of this, at least from a potential enterprise perspective, was we need some standard set of APIs that are implemented by an issuer of a credential, a standard set of APIs that are implemented by a verifier of a credential and a standard set of APIs that are used by a holder to interact with all of them. Right. So that there is no proprietary interfaces. There is an opportunity to switch providers without incurring API lock-in costs. That was the, at least from my perspective, that was the intent and the desire to move out on this. Now, whatever ends up here, obviously it is something that we have a great deal of interest in. So looking forward to contributing to that discussion, that we arrive at something that actually is not just makes vendors happy, but actually makes enterprises and customers happy.
Great. Thank you, Anil. Adrian, you're next.
Well, I very much agree with Heather's, which one is it? I don't understand. And I think it was framed in a previous call. I think Anil was on that as well, where the difference is of interoperability is in the substitutability of an internal supplier versus the substitutability of another participant in the ecosystem. So for example, substituting one issuer for another is very different than substituting one EDV vendor for another EDV host, let's call it.
Great. Thank you, Adrian. I'm going to go ahead and run the poll. The way polls work is I'm just going to put the poll question in, which is the VCHP API for external parties, internal parties, both, or I need more information to answer that question. So basically type whatever you want after the poll. Even if it doesn't fit into, what was put in there. And you just type into the chat window. There's the poll. Is the VCHP API for external parties, internal parties, both? Or I need more information to answer that question. Killer whale jello salad. That's awesome. So recorded. Okay. So this is good. I mean, we've got some, answers back. It's in the minutes. We can go back, take a look, and then come back next meeting with a way of addressing the I need more information. Agree with that. And then, we can, rerun the poll, to see, what the thoughts are there. Daniel, you're up. You might be muted, Daniel.
I would like an opportunity to explain why I have an opinion about this. Can I have 10 or 15 minutes that I can kind of be in present mode at a meeting?
Absolutely. Yep. I mean, like, the next meeting would be good.
Is that scheduled next week at the same time?
It's not scheduled at all right now. We can schedule it. It's not scheduled at all right now, Daniel. Maybe we can schedule it. Let me just say this. It's going to be scheduled at the same time. And then we will ask for people to object or say that they really want to be there, but they can't, and schedule conflicts and all that kind of stuff. So let's just assume the next meeting is same day, same time. And then we'll put out a doodle poll for those that want a more regular call, if necessary. Does that work for you, Daniel?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. All right. Great. We'll put that on the agenda next week. All right. Noting that there are 9 minutes left, I don't think we're going to be able to get a lot of progress. But one thing that we might be able to do is determine the structure of the specification. Noting that we still don't quite know, what's going to go in the specification. So currently there are three different things that people are expecting the specification to contain. One of them is One of them is issuing verification in either holder or presentation APIs. Or at least those are kind of the three things that might be in the specification. So we're really talking about multiple things right now. One of them is, are we going to have a specification at all? I'd be surprised. You know, the biggest concern right now is we don't have a specification. We have an OAS file, but no specification. So the assumption here is we're going to have a specification. The question is that specification going to have a section each for issuing verification and like presenting or holder APIs? Or do we want to split this up into three different specifications? One specification for issuing, one specification for verification, and potentially one specification for presenting, holding, APIs. So at this point, it might be good for people to put themselves on the queue to provide input. The proposals are going to be either one specification with multiple sections or three different specifications, and maybe an overview document to pull all the information together. Ori, you're on the queue. Go ahead.
Yep. So I put a proposal that is maybe not the perfect wording for this, but one respec document, multiple OpenA API specification document files that each make their way into various sections within that respec document. I think the open API spec side of this problem is mostly a deck chairs maneuver. Like, in, you can organize it a number of different ways. Some of them are like really obvious and useful, and you're kind of not repeating yourself, and everything's sort of easy to manage in terms of merge conflicts and those kinds of things. And not, you can obviously do the exact same thing and have it look the same and have it be terrible to work with. So I think Marcus already has done, he has a draft already of reorganizing. It looks great to me. Like, really awesome. Why one respec instead of three respec documents? First reason being one place to provide a consistent introduction and context for the work item. Second case, to be able to see each of the sections as they relate to each other and be able to comment on the privacy and security implications of each section as they are related. And this gets to Daniel Hardman's, what I assume are his concerns around some of the way that the issuer API might be used. And I think if we split them up, it will very quickly turn into a world of hiding your chips underneath the rug in the other documents. Whereas if we can address the privacy and security considerations of these APIs as a whole in one document, we will be able to provide better privacy guidance to users about the nature of the APIs themselves.
Thank you, Ori. Marcus, you're up next.
Plus one to Ori. I would have proposed exactly the same thing. Breaking up the open API specs into multiple files, but having a single respec document, that's also my preference.
Adrian, you're up.
I want to argue strongly for the three separate specifications, not necessarily arguing for any particular format, on the basis that there is great asymmetry between the holder and either the issuer and the verifier. And if we do not consider, if we do not force ourselves to separate the issuer from the verifier and the holder, but from each other, then we will make doing the privacy analysis very difficult and also endangering the whole enterprise by not giving sufficient agency to the holder.
Great. Thank you, Adrian. Noting that we have about 4 minutes left on the call, I'm going to run a proposal. This is non-binding. I expect it to fail because due to lack of consensus, but I think it would be interesting to poll the group. The proposal, I'm going with yours, Ori, which is to create one respec specification in addition to separating the existing OAS files into modular components. Would Gori is it does that like capture what you were trying to do? Okay, all right. Here's the proposal. I expect it to fail. Adrian, I expect you to minus one it. And so we won't resolve it. Okay, I'm going to hold for a little bit longer so other people can get their comments in. Okay, so we have one minus one. Adrian, that's you. Not going to resolve this due to that. I expect we'll probably need to discuss this. Adrian, I'd like you to, you know, before next meeting, potentially think about a proposal that would get more buy-in. So I would expect that if we ran the counter proposal, there would be a slew of minus ones to it. So how can we address your concern?
You know, you all know the answer to that. And it doesn't take me saying it. I have been proposing for a long time that the holder be able to merely control by way of directed exchange or authorization the flow of a credential directly from an issuer to a verifier if that is their option. And to the extent that we can capture that in a single document, I will become a plus one, but otherwise I'm a minus one for that reason.
Okay, so one way forward, Adrian, might be for us to write that use case down and then potentially demonstrate that it could be done with the API expressed in one document.
It's the psychiatrist note use case.
Gotcha.
Another psychiatrist.
Okay, good. That's concrete. We can go after that. Okay, so,
letter of recommendation is the same thing.
Okay. Daniel Zazero, we are going to hear from you, Daniel, next time. We'll put you up first, for the presentation and then continue going through these proposals. So our next meeting will be on Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific. I'll send that, out and we will keep going through this stuff. Thank you, everyone. I feel like this was a very productive meeting. We got a number of things, agreed to. And we'll see you next time. Thanks all. Bye.